This is the rather longish poem I'll be giving a guided tour through tomorrow at, is it 12:30, Mark, at the student union, right. It's a poem about writing poetry. It's about how I came to write poetry, my own struggle with language. I think it might be helpful, useful to people any age, writing themselves. There are a few foreign words in it that I'll just throw out translations to. The word nomen, which of course means noun in Latin, mundus nominalis, the word of the noun, the realm of the noun. For years, I've had a writer's block. For years, I found the nouns predominated in my work. The verbs hadn't come to the forefront, hadn't come to dominate the verses. I think it has to. Nouns have a tendency to stalk, to accumulate. They're stations of the static, and if left to their own powers, I found that they stultified, they blocked the logical force of the poem forward. Finally, in developing the verb, and the verb is part of process, the verb is a means of distribution, the verb is lyric, that I finally came to my own verse. There's a smattering of Provençal, quiero lisi stello brien forza, means simply when the stars are shining bright. There's a smattering of German from a poem of Hölderlin's that was being translated in a little cave in the rocks by Heidegger and a group of Heideggerian philosophers. And there's a little phrase in Latin toward the end, salva, salva terra, which means, as I'm sure you know, save, save the earth. The poem is called A Portrait of the Self as Instrument of Its Syllables. And it has a little epithet at the beginning, as when milk is bound by the juice of the fig from Empedocles. And the poem is dedicated to Robert Duncan. Part one. Was dark finally crossing the Co before the first blossoming almonds caught in the headlights, flickering pink from under. Cupped flame, that frozen sequence, was what I'd hold to, the instant looped, bezeled, set now into sound. The narrow orchards, as they aisle, rise, the possibility at least of isolates. The hissing of walls, reeds, windbreaks, the running conjugate of the uninterrupted, was what brought me first, a bag and briefcase, the possibility at least of stations, intervals, of somewhere where the numbers might not, and the taut white boulders in their breath lines eddy. Would lie there the full length of that murmur, not stillness said, but the movement traced, gathered, the loose skirts of the flame enfolded, mint and japonica brought quartz-like to focus. Aware whereby the fibers might run refluent into hip, ankle, tongue. Part two. Within the circle that hand-stamped canceled the square, Lacoste, fief of oak smoke and iris, of moons and nettles, of the black wind-pitted cells of its ramparts, but the south wind scooped and the long mistrals chiseled. There, concentric at its quarried heart, where the cobble's fork and hollyhocks stand sentinel, went under, where the lamp might root and the low room glow, bright as burst straw, brought the broken swarm of my syllables, a pulse beating against a diaphragm of shadows, a face as if poured so many facets into the depthless mask of its hands. That it take, that sunken the damp vocable sprout, a here huddled against the wearless workings of a scuttled earth. Bed, bottles, and chairs, that each thing as it's uttered out of its breath, smoldering, bud. But wouldn't, for 10 years, the rocks wandered, wouldn't stop the shelled meadows nor the knuckle trunks of the stump sycamores. Drifted pieces and aculeus, unbound, unthreaded, from the slender wefts of syntax floated sajita, ashen. Slipped what could trace the weight of its own fingers, bring the meager echo its stray bodies to bear. For 10 years reigned gnomon preponderant. Wouldn't fit, lay broken the phrase in its meted progressions. Split, severed what the verb had woven, a wave through its slack waters shot, by its trough rhythms driven. Adrift now in so many spent components, in nomen the mundus nominalis, each thing unto itself invested, each its soul an inflexible referent, like unto like, the limbs unmixed, the vision in Pedeclean, the fusion of the elements under strife riven. Shadows lapping against chalk, for 10 years the breath went dismembered, erred bone, erred measure. Through the gnomon, in its cellulated wastes, the poi moved, disassembled, unspoken. Part 3. Hung there a damp bulb, a plump fire, from underneath the tangled coils of her hair, whirled taut each brittle, inflammated node to a flushed bud, each knot, then slack, relapsing again, a loose effusion, a heat run undulant through its rhythmic, lymph-rippled grain. Rung, am rung to that that draws and involves me, pulls centripetal from shank and tongue, urges its glowing, unsustainable image, its imprint in me through that narrow draft, tendon of my own annunciations, brings us each word to resonance, each breath to reception, leads the least increment into that tissue, that globed air that begets. Brings us the poem forwards, of which I am merely its instance, prefix for setting substance to syllable, for bringing the unworked images, damp bulb, plump fire, forwards into their linked and sonorous betrothals. For the words wed as they weave, life the morphemes couple as the self unsells and sends its eye moving deft through mineral, its breath meshed through pine. Mixes flame, flower, and water, eschews stasis, abets rhyme, binds the goat's milk fast to the fig's thick juices. Not stillness said, but the movement traced, gathered, but spheros, the earth bound taut to its paired releases. Part 4. Deals with reading first landscape and then reading text. Over Gult, where lavender foams and lizards through the dry time sizzle, red rocks, red walls, saw interstice manifest, followed the low overlapping play of the stones, their adjusted intervals. Past Les Maquignons clustered in its crumbling rust-red ochres, entered the trellised air, the wind-scored orchards. Not cadence, it said, the fixed fall of its quartered staves, but the wire drawn, the lines run rhythmic to the folds of the broken ground, pliant to the earth's undulant lay. not form then, but form is extension of content, but Gestaltung, each wave in its throw, the gaudy heave of its countless facets, a fresh annunciate. Knights would read Querulis Estello Brianforzo within the tall, lime-washed rooms of that abandoned, dry-stone cocoonery, read Blake, read Shaw, my first masters. The flames rose in fat needles through the lamp's glass sleeves. With the lease breeze, the slack shadows throbbed. Read Sappho and Pindar, Anacreon and Catullus. Came birds, came reeds. Out of Isaiah sprang summer, Parmenides, night. From Dante, that oar, that ben intelletto, and Ibn Arabi, those suspended reciprocal stars. Came winds, salt, marrows. For the lines as they run, transparent into dawn, into light, bring to each substance its qualities, each reflection its light. Proffer their metal, both temper and refine. Came thus the rivers, came fish and the rain-shaken lilies. From the tongue thus the moons and the sun mirrors. From Mallarmé that rush of crushed shadow, and Shakespeare that pearl, its black sphericity. Came thunder, came tin. From Traherne the psalm burnt to a glass whisper. From Hopkins the bow, and Wordsworth verdurous the quiver. For the lines, as they come now unwritten, as they run pellucid into world, infuse, instill, the syllables fill. From Williams thus so many wind-petaled wildflowers, while from Duncan air, that air exultant, and open, unrelenting, that wheel-maker's flame. From the linguists now, Worf, Sapir, how the least shift in syntax, tense perception, would reset the heavens, bring a boulder to tremble in the wrapped tissues of a breath. Bring, would bring us uncentered now onto those very first fields, those released phrases of dust and dragonflies, adjunctive now to that deeper space, unto that far heart of people crepuscular who point. In the last part, subtitled The Translation of the Waves. That air not end, nor flame gutter, that earth not coil ingested into those nonal hordes, but verb-herded be given, offered forth, wind unto wind, foam unto foam, be pitched sonorous through each meted particle, transmitted. For certainly to own is to interrupt, to stalk, pile, separate matter from its own innate motion, its thrust unto, to truncate and kill. Was what brought me then a blue shadow moving against the glass-headed light, a mumble across the pruned luminous oblongs of the terraced orchards, up over Venasque, where asters float to the field's very edges, climbed, lavender, olive, quince, in laddered octaves, came at last to those waves in the rocks, that cave where the waves hung from the poem's high scaffolds. Ein Pacht, that splendor, das Werk der Wogen, where all morning they'd amassed, lay gathered towards her own translation, abeyant upon the brief Schluget est, the sea in Holderlin's poem, all morning pendant. Of the way, the various ways, angles, torque, tensions, the waves might break, fan against the coastline foaming, Fidier in Beaufré all morning, tested predicates. Heidegger withdrawn, opaque, a block of dark crystal, its rays bent inwards, elucidated the verb alone, its clipped, arrested movement. The back of his hand slapped flatly at the dry shadows. Ein Pracht, all morning, that splendor, that cave, no, certainly not Plato's, where the waves in their great watery greenhouses accumulated, awaited transition. In their high, fluttering aviaries, their transit. As if in that vocable, all Europe, all air that long morning were held suspended. As if finally in the blue involuted wheel of that verb transfigurant, in all verbs, all mornings finally, the breath would slip accelerating towards passage. Wave unto wave, surf bursting against shore, each thing unto its deep embedded mirrors projected, unto the running parallel, its referent deferred. That thus returned unto the inviolate at last restored, each thing might in its turn regenerate. Out of that lost language, that buried resonance might bud, spring fresh. The twofold, the earth be by breath alone its own recourse, both store and sow, receive and diffuse, articulate its reciprocal spaces. That it break thus from that ultimate hypnosis, the ultimate Gorgon's white monotic gaze, from its gases be saved, from that flash and its instantaneous white fires, salva, salva terram, was what the waves sang, sang save, save, with the bells off the tops of the tall waves beat, flung backwards in hard tokens, fat, hammered froth. What brought me then over the low ledges, brought that I bring, impelled that I urge, heard, drive the words into that luminous salvage and stand there in those linked shadows, thus lit.